Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption Higher Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that you have joined together with me for this midday message, resting in the promises of God. Resting in the promises of God. There is a rest that God has given to the body of believers that he wants us to enter into. And when we talk about resting in the promises of God, we are talking about trusting him, believing him, having faith in him. It's a very serious issue because when we don't enter into the rest of God, we don't receive the promises of God. And it tells God and shows him disbelief, our disbelief. And so when God talks about entering into his rest, he wants you to trust him, to believe him, to have hope in him, that everything that you need is in Christ. He's the fulfillment of joy. He's the fulfillment of peace. He's the fulfillment of contentment. The Bible says that he gives us all that we need that pertains to life and godliness. And so we're going to go before the throne of grace, and right after that, we're going to get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we say thank you today for another glorious opportunity to come before your presence with worship, to get into your word. Thank you for this wonderful word, this marvelous word that we have that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, for those that are tuning in, the hearers of your words. Help us to be doers of your word. Help us to receive the engrafted word that's able to save our soul, to deliver us, to change us, to transform us, God, more into your image. And so, Lord, we want you to send the Holy Spirit to move mightily among us, in us, and through us for change, Lord. And, God, increase our faith and hope in our hearts where we can trust you more and more to believe the report of the Lord, to know that you're well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. To know that your word is true, that never will you leave us, nor will you ever forsake us, but you will be with us even to the ends of the world. So, God, whatever circumstances and situations that are at hand in the lives of your people, we come on this broadcast to touch and agree, Lord, to mediate on their behalf in Jesus' name, Lord, knowing that you will fix it, that you will work all things out after the counsel of your own will. For Romans 8:28 tells us, God, that all things work together for good to those that love you, Lord. So, Father, according to your word and your promises for the people's lives, so shall it be, Lord. Lift them, God, and encourage them, Lord, that it's not over until you said it is over. And so, Father, we believe, Lord, let their faith be increased to believe that better days are ahead and the best is yet to come. And, God, you have great plans for their lives according to Jeremiah 29:11. And that your thoughts towards them, God, are only good. And that you're ordering their steps to bring them into the promise that you have purpose for their lives and their family lives. Let them believe on, God, and lay hold to eternal life. Lord God, we look unto you who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And thank you, Lord God, for all of the prayers that you have answered, all of the provisions that you have made, Lord, in supplying the needs for your people, in healing them, God, in giving them peace, Lord, in giving them answers and wisdom and directions in the way that they should take. We thank you, Lord God, that we will commit our works unto you, and you said that you will establish them. So establish our goings, Lord. We thank you that we know we can trust you, and we believe the report of the Lord. May your word go forth, God. Let the anointing destroy the yoke of the enemy that brings anxiety, that brings fear, that brings discouragement, Lord. Cast it down in Jesus' name. Bind up everything, God, that is not like you. For, God, you have given us the keys, Father. You have given us the authority in the earth to proclaim your word, to proclaim your name, to speak forth life, God. So we bind up every evil spirit and work of the enemy, every sanction of the enemy, God. Hallelujah, that he have hurled at our lives, at our family lives, in our finances, Lord, in our health, God. Let us, Lord God, walk victoriously to know that you are with us like a mighty warrior. We bring your spirit into the earth, God, as we pray fervently, Lord, effectively for you to move on the behalf of those that love you, God. Let miracles take place. Supernatural miracles, healing and deliverance, God. Favor, God. Open doors that they will have favor, God, in Jesus' name. We proclaim the name that is no other name, Lord God, can compare to. The name of Jesus that is a strong tower. You are a rock, God. You are a shield. You are a fortress. And we lift you up from above this earth today that you be most glorified. Your name that is above every name. None can compare unto you, Jesus. So we say thank you. We are not ashamed of you, Lord. We bless you and lift you up higher. Each day, God, we press in, Lord. Each day, God, we seek you even more fervently, Lord God. For hope is shed abroad in our hearts, God. Each day, God, our faith is being increased, Lord, that you're fortifying us. You're strengthening us, God. You're making us, God, like a strong iron brass against the enemy, God. Your word declares that no one will be able, God, to stand before us because of you. So, Lord God, we accept and receive our inheritance in you, the children of the upright. Our glorious promises are in you. So we bless you to know, God, that we sit in heavenly places with you. We're joint heirs, God. We decree it today all over the world. We decree it today all over the world in Jesus' name. Let every spirit bow down to the power of the living God. Let you arise in our lives, God, and your enemies be scattered. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We bless you today. We love you today. As we get into your word, open up the eyes of understanding of your people today, God. Help them to, Lord God, receive the glorious appearance of your promises. Bless and heal and deliver. We pray for our leaders in our churches, the leaders in our nation. We pray for, Lord God, things that are transpiring and going on in London. Oh, God, protect your people, Lord. Bring down every evil, powerful spirit of the enemy, God. Lord God, relinquish him of all of his weapons and his rights. God, you know how to make the warfare cease. Lord God, you get the glory and heal. For you the God that wounds, but you heal. You bind up the brokenhearted, God. You comfort those that are lonely, Lord. So go into the prisons, into the mental institutions, Lord God, in various places, and just let the angels be dispatched to minister grace, Lord, minister peace unto the spirits in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord God, cover our families, Lord God. Give us safe travelers and favor in all that what we do today, God. Hallelujah. Let our gifts make room for us today and bring us before great men. We bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless all of you. We praise God for his spirit. Praise God for his power that's being released to help us move forward, to give us the joy, the peace, everything that we need. Today, again, we're talking about entering into God's rest, resting in God's promises. And the only way we can rest in his promises is if we have to enter into his rest. It's that entering into his rest where you fully believe God. You fully have faith in God, that God becomes your all in all, that you look to him for everything that you need, for every decision, that you make God first priority in your life as a believer. So we're going to be looking here at the book of Hebrews. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and we want to begin at the third chapter. Now, let's look at verse 14. We're going to start right there. If you're just now tuning into the broadcast, this is a live show today, which we have in many days, but we decided, of course, we have to put it out there to let everyone know it's live. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end." We're only made partakers in Christ if we have faith to the end with him. That's why the Bible says he that draws back, you know, God doesn't have any pleasure in him. His soul doesn't have any pleasure in a person that you start on the journey in believing Jesus and putting your faith in him, but you draw back. And there are various reasons why people draw back. Because, again, we talked about when life comes at you hard or things that you don't understand, circumstances that have happened, some people draw back. Some people lay their Bibles down. Some people stop praying. Some people stop believing in God and salvation through Jesus Christ. But those of us that are partakers of Christ, we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, the beginning of our confession of believing that Jesus died for us and that God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son to die for our sins, to give us redemption, to give us salvation, to give us a hope. And that is what we have as partakers in Christ. And we have to hold our confidence fast in the steadfastness of what we know who God is and what he has done. Now, you may be a new believer and you have not yet experienced the miraculous of God. You have not yet experienced, of course, personal testimonies yet. You may have just given your life to the Lord yesterday. But you have to hold fast to your confession with confidence that God is who he say he is in this Bible. That's why it's good to study the word, because the word of God is filled with the promises of God. You get to see the mighty acts and the wonders of what God has done in the lives of the biblical people during this time. And the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God doesn't change his word of promise and love to us. So we look at verse 15. It says, "While it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation." Now, when the Bible speaks of the provocation, it's speaking of those in the Old Testament that turned their backs on God, that when things got hard, they didn't believe anymore. They began to mumble and grumble and complain. They begin to say what they did not have. They begin to doubt God and complain to Moses because of what they didn't have at the time. Now, they have seen all of the miracles that God performed in departing the Red Sea and bringing quail down for them to eat and manna from heaven. Yet when things appear to be hard for them because they couldn't get what they want, they begin to complain and doubt God and raise up against Moses, God's leaders that was teaching them and giving them the word and leading them into the promised land. See, God has a promised land for all of us. It could be here now, and it's eternal. It's eternal. Mainly, God is talking about our eternal promise. But there's also a promise that's left us now, some things that God is going to do in your life, some things that God is going to fulfill in your life before you exit out of earth. It's a promise, but you have to hold fast. Your faith has to be steadfast in God. That's why he tells us to commit our works unto him. God will take care of us. So if day of provocation was when the people rebelled because they couldn't get their way. Verse 16 says, "For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses." When the children of Israel was coming out of Egypt, there were many that believed and many that were humble and many that followed and obeyed the instructions of Moses. But there were many that died out on the way to the promised land. And even at the edge of the promised land, Kadesh Barnea, where some still didn't cross over. You could be almost at the promise of what God has promised you or what God has said. It's not always what it appeared, what it looked like, because God works through the supernatural. It's nothing too hard for God. He can move within a blink of an eye on your behalf. God can do anything, but it takes your faith in believing him, trusting him, so that you can enter into that rest,
to receive the promise. We have a promise that's been left to us because of what Jesus has done for us. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, it was just not for here on earth, but it was also for an eternal promise where our souls can be with the Lord forever. So let's look at another scripture here. Verse 17 says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? He's asking a question here. Who was God grieved with for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Yeah, because they died out. They died out in disbelief. God's whole relationship that he wants with people is to believe him. It's to just trust him. Because when you don't trust God, it's really like a slap in the face. Because he's the Almighty that can do anything. So when people don't trust him, you doubt his omniscience and omnipotence to know all things and that he can do all things. And then especially when he performed miracles right in before your face, when he's already given you a miracle, when he's already healed your body, when he's already made provisions. We have to learn that our ways are not God's ways. And we have to learn, like scripture says, that many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that will prevail. Now, God will, again, give us the desires of our heart, but he has a whole great plan, and he's guiding the course of our lives by the counsel of his will, by the counsel of his wisdom, to know where we're supposed to be and how he wants it done, because he wants to get the glory out of our lives. He wants our lives to be effective in the earth, so that we can be effective in touching and reaching other people. See, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Anything that we do and whatever God bless us with and wherever he lead us is all about Jesus, because he cares for souls. So we look here at verse 18. It says, to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. God swore that they would not enter into his rest. Disbelief. That's why scripture says in another place, let not that man think that he should receive anything from God when he doubts. Because, see, a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. That's what he says. And don't let them think that they can receive anything from the Lord. You got to believe God, whether you see it, feel it, or not. You got to trust God. Hallelujah. And that's what we do. So let's go to verse 19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief. That's why he says he wants us to trust him with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him and he would direct our path. There's a joy that comes back. You know, there's, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, divine detours. We may not understand what has happened, why it didn't turn out this way, but in God's omnipotence, and him being superior over everything and sovereign over everything is in his discretion which way he wants us to go in to receive the promise. He has to take us through some journeys. But he wants us to believe him, enter into his rest, like don't worry. Know that God is faithful. You have to know that God loves you so much that he will never let anything happen to your life outside of his divine will. Because, see, he knows those that belong to him. If you belong to God because you have your faith in Jesus Christ, then he will take care of you. And so he knows when you're fearing. He knows when you're doubting. And if you do have fear, then you pray, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief for this situation. For what I'm facing, whatever it is. Let's go to chapter 4. We're in Hebrews chapter 4 now, verse 1. He says here, let us therefore fear. And this fear right here is a reverential fear to God. This is not the fear of having anxiety. This is a reverential fear right here that the author is telling us to have towards God. Look what he says. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you seem to come short of it. He's letting us know. Be careful. Unless the promise that was left for us, you come short of it because you didn't believe God. That's why we are called to worship. That's why we are called to praise, to prayer, to sing a song in those trying times, to move forward in believing God. With so many things going on in our nation and abroad and all these different countries, you know, there's a lot of fear of anxiety and depression that can grip people to think that that stuff will happen to them. But we have to know who we belong to. And greater is he that is in you and I than he that is in the world. And God promised us in Isaiah chapter 54:17, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Now we have to believe the report of the Lord. We don't fear and have anxiety about these things. But with everything in prayer and supplication, we make our request known unto God. We have to tell God and cover your family. He's given us the spiritual resources, the spiritual tools that we need to be victorious in the earth. And so we commit our works unto him and be about his business so that he can establish the good pleasures in our lives. We are the workmanship of his good pleasures. So he uses our lives to be a blessing to others, to bring his spirit in the earth so that others may enter into his rest and they won't give up and lose hope. So again, verse 1 here in Hebrews chapter 4 says, lest a promise being left to us, we come short of it. Let us therefore don't fear, so we can enter into that promise, enter into that rest. Verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, talking about the people in the Old Testament. But the word preached did not profit them. Why didn't it profit them? Look what it says right here. It didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them when they heard it. See, that's why the Bible said when you hear the word, be doers of the word, the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If God is saying he wants you to trust him, if God is saying don't worry, if God is saying I need you to believe in me, I need you to move forward, step out on faith, that's what we have to do. If you're seem like depleted of everything, you still have to have faith in God. You have to look to the hills from which cometh your help. All your help comes from the Lord. And we don't have to compromise our faith. We don't compromise our faith as believers. We stand on the word of God to know that, yes, he will provide. He will make a way. He gives us wisdom. He gives us discernment. He tells where to go, what to say. God will lead us and guide us into all truth and how he will accomplish his will in our life to bring us into that promised land. So we look at another scripture down here again. Let's have verse 2 again. We want to go over that again. For unto us was the gospel preached. Yes, we have the gospel that's preached to us. Was as well as unto them in the Old Testament. It's the gospel of God providing, of God being a savior. That's what the gospel is, the good news that Jesus came. And in the Old Testament, it was the good news that Jehovah would provide. So we see here the good news was preached unto them, but it did not profit them. It didn't gain. It's almost like when the parable of the seed. It wasn't sown onto good ground, the good ground of their heart of faith to believe, but it was sown probably among thorns. As the Bible talks about, sometimes, you know, with sower sow seed, the word of God, you can hear the word, but it could be sown among thorns. And because you so cared about everything around you and what's going to happen and losing this and losing that and going through this and fret, you know, we all have these things. Nobody wants to experience trial, tribulation, calamity. It's just an uncomfortable thing. But if God has ordered certain things in our life to test our faith, that's what we have to go through and experience. So we don't need the word of God when it's planted in our lives to be choked up by the thorns, the tissues of life, of the cares of the world. How are we going to get by? Oh, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? That's the cares of the world. We have inner joy, inner peace in our inner man. We'll talk about that scripture before we get off the broadcast. That God gives us what we need. And he touches us and blesses our inner man to get through these trying times. And we don't need the word of God to fall on stony ground where it never gets planted. It never takes root in us to really believe what the Bible is saying, who God is and what he has promised to the saints. We don't need the word to fall on a stony ground where it doesn't take root. And the wind come along, any type of trial come along, it just blows it away, blows you away. We need to be standing firm, as scripture says here in verse 14 of chapter 3, steadfast in our confidence in God. We're believers, and God will help sharpen our faith. That's why we have to pray and ask for wisdom. God gives it liberally to us when we ask for wisdom. So we look here, now we're back in chapter 4. Let's look at, again, verse 3 says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. See, look at that, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Yeah, because when you don't believe, you frustrate the grace of God. When you're going through things or situations and you let it get the best of you, we frustrate the grace of God, because what we're doing, frustrate the grace of God that he has came to help us. You may be struggling with some things in your life, but you frustrate the grace of God when you feel that you can't be delivered. That's frustrating the grace of God. And God doesn't want that, because there's nothing too hard for God. He releases the spirit, the power that we need to overcome. So we don't need to frustrate the grace of God. And that's what we do when we don't enter into his rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Because when you don't enter into his rest, you're doing it yourself. You're working yourself. And that is something the enemy uses against the body of Christ. To think that you have to do it all yourself, that you're accomplishing all of the righteousness, you're accomplishing all of the provisions that you need. Christ finished the work at the cross to allow us to be able to enter into his rest. And you don't owe anybody any explanation at the pace, at the level, at the speed that you're going, or whatever level you're on in God. The Bible says the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to them that endure to the end. That's why we have to encourage one another. We're not in a race with anybody. We don't have to compare ourselves with anybody. The Bible says when you compare yourself with others, you become fools. We don't compare ourselves with anybody. We just run our own race, stay in our own lane. Because at the end, you know, we have to stand before the Lord, so he's going to help us. So this rest that he's talking about, it ceases us from working, because God has already worked for us. God is the one that is working for us. And Jesus has accomplished the work on the cross. All we have to do is let his righteousness work in us, the righteousness that he has already imputed upon us. We didn't even work for that. We have not even merited that. He has given it to us. So the works that God is talking about is the works of the fruit of the Spirit in our hearts, not working for our salvation. We enter into his rest to receive all of that. Because, again, he says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4 says, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day and on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. There's a day of rest. Even God rested. There's a day of rest for believers. Verse 5 says, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6 says, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Now, this unbelief is really a spirit of disobedience. Hallelujah. God is speaking in many facets in this scripture right here. Because, see, disbelief will cause us to make decisions and do things where it'll put us in a place of disobedience with God. Then he has to help us through that. So we want to be able to fully trust God. And so we see another scripture here, verse 7 says, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. God wants us to take him at his word at first hand. First response is to believe. The first response is to trust him. Verse 8 says, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Because Jesus has already given us that rest by going to the cross and nailing every accusation, nailing everything that Satan will try to make us believe that we have to accomplish things ourselves. That it's in our effort that we will accomplish this or accomplish that or gain this or gain prosperity. You know, the Bible said it's he that gives you the power to get wealth. God is the one that gives you the power to get wealth, gives you the power to be prosperous. He's the one that releases gifts unto us that brings us before great men. Verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall short the same example of unbelief. He wants us to be diligent to enter into his rest. Rest from our own labor as far as trying to do it ourselves. He wants us to enter the rest of trusting God and believing that he's a faithful God. So we labor into the rest of God, not labor into our own works of trying to figure it all out, keep it all straight. We use the wisdom and let God guide us in handling our distractions, our affairs with discretion. Let's say it like that. We labor in the rest of God, being diligent to trust God, being diligent to believe God, being diligent in prayer and worship from the heart, the inside of trusting God, the inside of believing God, to enter into that rest, being diligent to get away and take away the disbelief. You'll feel so much better, and God will release peace unto you, as he said in his word. You know, the person that keepeth their mind on God, he keep them in perfect peace. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Because he already know what you need. He already know what you're thinking. He already know what concerns you. He already know what prayers you need answered. He knows what's on your heart, and he will perfect it. Verse 13 said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. God is fully aware of every single human being on this earth. We have to expand and broaden our horizon of how big and vast and great God is, how divine, how supernatural he is. All you have to do is read the word to understand the power of God and who he is, the spiritual knowledge of God that brings us into his inheritance of what he has prepared for the saints, those of us that enter into his rest. We're of a different kingdom. We're not of the world kingdom to say and do and act like the world when trials and tribulations come. No, we're steadfast believers because we're in the kingdom of God. the kingdom of heaven may suffer violence, but the violence take it by force. And scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is not made of, it doesn't consist of meat and drink and all of that stuff for that pleases the natural outer body, that pleases the flesh, but is in joy, peace, power in the Holy Ghost, and love. We walk in the spirit with Christ. So we look here at another verse here. Again, verse 13, latter part, let's read it again. Now there's any creature that is manifest, that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto his eyes, the eyes of him with whom we have to do with God. That's who it is. That's who knows everything about us. That's who knows everything about you. God knows everything about you. Every single detail about your life. Nothing is hidden from him. So verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, and that's what he is, because Christ mediates for us. He's the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. He intercedes for you. He make atonements for you. He shed his blood for you to forgive you, to forgive all of us of our sins. He mediates for us. He's at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercessions for us. Christ is our great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot touch with the feelings of our infirmity. Oh, let's read that again. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but within all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So verse 16 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're going to stop right there. And we're going to just look at, before we go out the broadcast right now, verse 15 again, because look, Christ is the high priest that can be touched with our infirmity. See, the high priest in the Old Testament, he couldn't touch and feel the infirmities and what the people were feeling. He just had to obey God and go into the holies of holies, into the temple, to make atonement for them with the outer external stuff, sacrifices of bulls and animals and goats and things like that, and rams, lambs. But we have a high priest, Jesus, spiritual, that have gone into the heavens, that has already passed through the heavens, that can touch our infirmities, that know what we feel, that know what we go through, that know what you think about in the secret places of your heart, that know what you're concerned about, that know you have fear sometimes, that know that you're praying for your children and your grandchildren and your job that you want and the healing of your loved ones, that knows what you need. He knows that you want to come out of some circumstances and situations. He knows when you're troubled and things are trying to weigh you down. He's familiar and can feel it for you. He went to the cross to feel it for you. He's a great high priest that understands these things. So because of that, he wants you to trust him. He was tempted just like we are at all points, yes, yet without sin. Temptation rising up in your life. He already knows. So we have to give it to him so he can remove the spirit, dispel it out the way by his power, the Holy Ghost. Remove everything that comes to try to bring you down and from being victorious and from being productive to bring bear forth fruit meant for repentance. He knows what the enemy is trying to do. So we have to commit these things to him. And enter into his rest. Enter into God's rest. So that we can lay hold to the promise. Resting in the promises of God. That's what we want. Hallelujah. We got to decree and declare the promises of God over our lives. That's why it's good to speak life, speak the word. We have to speak the life, speak the word that he's given us. We don't speak death. We don't speak doubt. We don't speak negativity. We want to get rid of that out of our lives. Be bold enough to get rid of it out of your life. If anyone is trying to speak it in your life, cast it down. Every evil imagination and everything that rises up against the knowledge of God's word for your life, against the knowledge of God's promises for your life, have to cast it down with his word, the word that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Pierce darkness with the word of God. Speak life so that those things that you're expecting can manifest in your life. We have a long ways to go because God has given us all blessings and longevity. So we want to be able to keep speaking life and move forward in God no matter what. Continue to seek the Lord and enter into his rest so that you can receive all of the promises that he has spoken in your life. Hallelujah. There was one scripture we wanted to look at before we go off the broadcast. And that scripture that we want to look at is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says, I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he will strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. That's what God desires, that you be strengthened in your inner being, that you can receive the glorious riches of God. Out of his glorious riches, you will be strengthened with his power. Through his spirit, by his spirit in your inner man. Yes, God works with us in our inner spirit. Peace in the midst of chaos. You can have joy in the midst of sorrow because it's the peace that he releases to the believers because we have entered into his rest. Hallelujah. So we want to believe God that he's faithful. Oh, yes, all things will work together. We may not understand some things, but trust me, trust God that all things is going to work for your good in a mighty way. Think on it in a mighty way that whatever it is going to work for your good in a glorious, mighty way because God is faithful. The Bible says faithful is he who has promised and he will do it. He will do it. He sees every unjust situation that has happened to you, every rejection that has happened to you, every slander, every false accusation, God will bring it to nothing in time. God's glory will be revealed on your life in time. Nothing gets beyond God. His eyes are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Keep pressing in righteousness. Keep love in your heart. Keep seeking the Lord and be diligent. Be diligent of entering into his rest. So God bless you. I thank you all for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Linda Shuler, the evangelist for the hour. Have a wonderful day.